Way up north,
north to Alaska.
Way up north,
north to Alaska.
North to Alaska. The go north for us is on.
447 on downtown, and up next on the G&M Family Market phone line. Just back somewhat recently from a trip to Alaska, Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe joins us. Bob, welcome back. How was your trip?
Trip was good. It was just about everything we had hoped that it could be, so it was fine.
Over the weekend, wonderful column in the Globe talking about Steph Curry. We've chatted with you about him on the show, being a worthy heir to the legacy of Pistol Pete Maravich, and this kid is just doing some remarkable things. Every night it seems something new.
Yeah, he's got everybody's attention because it's such a consensus. All the old-timers, with the exception of Oscar Robertson, are falling in line in awe of the fact that they have never seen, and I mean never, anyone who shoots this well from that far out while closely guarded and can get his shot off and make it look as effortless as he does. He's something special.
Bob, with it being the anniversary of the 86 Celtics, I've been spending a lot of time on YouTube watching old clips and game footage. And could you talk for just a second about what made Bird and Walton such exquisite passers for big men?
Well, what made them was that they desired to do so. Larry became a passer, he said, in his junior year when he had broken a leg and he lost, and he was feeding a star. A better player, and then he grew 6 inches between his junior year and his senior year in high school, and took the new skills he had with him to a new body. Walton grew up idolizing Bill Russell, and his orientation was rebounding, defense, and outlet passing. And of course, you're talking now about probably the three greatest outlet passers of all time. The third one being Wes Unseld. And so they wanted to pass, and playing the two together with their off the chart basketball IQs and their instincts, that was something that the league, we had never seen before, and sadly only saw the 1 year because Walton predictably got hurt the next year and played 10 games and was never a factor again after that wonderful 85-86 season.
Bob, March Madness is here in full bloom and all that means. Is there a team in the field this year, and perhaps not one of the top-seeded teams, that you just enjoy watching, you like their style of play?
Well, I love Virginia, and it's funny because they do have I'm usually a major advocate of up-tempo basketball, but there's something about this group and the way they move the ball and the way they play. And I do love Malcolm Brogdon, which certainly is a first-team All-American and definitely going to be a fine NBA player. And I like when Anthony Gill, the big guy, is playing well. I like it, the point guard. There's something about them, and it just goes against the grain of everything I've always liked in basketball. But I do like them. I'm not saying they're going to win, but they certainly deserve their seed. I love Gonzaga for the simple reason that I love Donatas Sabonis. Arvydas Sabonis' son is such a superior and intelligent big man. And then, of course, my favorite team to watch they're completely wacko, because when they're bad, they are bad, and when they're good, they can beat anybody, with the most flat-out entertaining player in America, and that's Iowa State, and that player is George Niang.
How about Providence carrying the banner for New England basketball? Can this Friars team get to Providence fans back to the glory days of Ernie D?
No, not they can't do that, but they could win a couple of games. Chris Dunn is a great college player, and Ben Bentil came out of nowhere. A year ago, I did not know anything about him. He's had some fantastic games this year. He's arguably played as well as any big man in this league, and with those two playing well on the same day, they could cause some trouble. Eddie Cooley, I root for very much as a coach. I like him a lot, they have a chance to make a little bit of a noise, but in the end, they're not going that far. UConn's not going that far. And I hate to tell the people in Worcester, but Holy Cross isn't going that far either.
We're talking with Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe. Over the weekend, a big story in the Globe on your alma mater, Boston College, and their struggles athletically. Well, what's the problem at Chestnut Hill?
I think it doesn't go much farther than the fact that the coaching hires were not up to par. This is a school where in the Bill Flynn era, he hired such people as Bob Cousy, Chuck Daly, Tom Davis, and Gary Williams. And that's pretty good and football coaches like Joe Yakeka and he hired him, and then of course Gene DeFilippo hired Tom O'Brien. But ever since Tom O'Brien left, football's been floundering a bit. Frank Sfatanziani let it fall apart. Wonderful fellow, I love him, but he couldn't do the job. And Steve Addazio's got a great defense, but no offense. And now he's lost his defensive coordinator, Don Brown, who's going out to Michigan. Mm-hmm. Basketball, I will be very honest. I would totally endorse the firing of Al Skinner because I thought it had come to an end and Al stopped recruiting and his work habits had caught up to him. And I didn't think it was going to be impossible to replace him. And nor is he irreplaceable, nor is he that good, because the fact of the matter is that since after he got fired, it took him 4 years to get another job after he was rebuffed in his attempt to get major jobs time and again. He's now at Kennesaw State. But they haven't replaced him. Steve Donahue was over his head as a Big East coach, or an ACC coach, excuse me. And Jim Christian in the 2 years, and I was warned that Jim Christian was not going to be the guy, and he's not the guy. The guy's out there somewhere. There's names I could suggest if they want him. The guy's out there somewhere, but they don't have it, and it's gone completely to pot. And the idea of not winning in either a football or basketball game is humiliating.
Bob, the one story that keeps floating to the surface when it comes to the Red Sox spring training is the Pablo Sandoval shortcomings, whether they're in the field or at the plate. In this market, how long does his contract stand in the way of Travis Shaw getting regular reps at third?
Well, we're going to have to put my Globe owner on the line there, John Henry. How much can you absorb before? Because it's going to cost the team ball games if they keep Travis Shaw on the bench in order to play Pablo as he currently is. And that happens. It can only happen because they're worried. They say, "Well, we have to get something back on our investment." It's a bad investment. It's a terrible investment. And the thing about Pablo is this: it's not just that what we saw last year was what we saw last year. The fact is that he peaked in 2011. In 2012, his numbers and all his OPS and all his OBP and the whole business, the power of numbers, everything went down from 2011. In 13, they went down from 12. In 14, they went down from 13. In 15, they went down from 14. Do you get my pattern here? This has been going on for 4 years. It was a bad hire. It was a bad signing. And yes, indeed, he stuck in the record 26 hits, the all-time postseason record when the Giants won the World Series 2 years ago, and that was a aberration, as it turned out. They have a real problem on their hands.
Bob, so much young talent on this Red Sox team. Is there one guy that you think is just ready to take off and really elevate his game?
Well, it's not me, but other people are saying that they think Mookie Betts is the next Andrew McCutchen. If that's the case, then look out, world. I love Bogarts as well. I think he will hit more home runs. He certainly has a big, strong kid that ought to hit more than 7 home runs. But you can't complain about that ratio of 7 home runs and 80-plus RBIs, which means he was a good situational hitter. He was a good situational hitter, but I think you have to sacrifice perhaps a little of that BA for some power. I think he can do that. Otherwise, he certainly played the field well last year. The nucleus of himself, Betts, Sweetheart, and maybe Vasquez, and how they're going to handle that one is going to be interesting behind the plate. They're in good shape behind the plate with those two young players. Sweetheart may wind up playing somewhere else. Everybody's always speculated about that because he is a good hitter and he's a switch hitter and he's athletic. So maybe his future doesn't lie in catching, or maybe he's going to be the prime trade bait. I don't know.
Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe. Bob, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks so much for making time for us once again.
Okay, you're welcome. Take along now.
Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe. 5 to go till the top of the hour. Bye.